It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin has a reckless driving problem. Statewide traffic fatalities have increased every year since 2019. Towns and cities across the state are trying to reduce reckless driving in a number of ways, and that includes redesigning the roads themselves. But their options are limited on busy urban highways where state policies can override local priorities. Jonah Chester reports.
As a kid living along West Fond du Lac Avenue in Milwaukee, Tristan Thomas saw plenty of reckless driving. A police officer would park blocks away from his home to catch cars barreling down the road.
He would sit there for like 8 to 10 hours every day, pulling people over constantly because they're just flying down the street with no regard for anyone else.
Thomas is 40 and lives in Appleton now, but he's tragically aware reckless driving on Fond du Lac hasn't gotten better since he was young. On the morning of March 12th, his sister Dwinetta Thomas was making a left turn at the intersection of Fond du Lac and Congress Street. A driver in oncoming traffic hit her vehicle. She later died of her injuries.
It's still incredibly hard to believe that she isn't here. We'll have a messenger call where, you know, everybody's got the video cameras on and we're looking at each other, and then it's just, you know, you're waiting for her to come on, and it's like, oh, she's not. She's not coming on anymore.
Thomas says Fond du Lac Avenue looks essentially the same as when he was a kid. That's in spite of efforts to make change. The road runs northwest from downtown Milwaukee until it connects with Interstate 41 at the edge of the city. The municipal street is part of State Highway 145, making it what's known as a connecting highway. On roads like this, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation gets final say over any infrastructure changes. That includes traffic calming measures like narrowing pedestrian crossings and reducing lane widths to encourage drivers to slow down. WSDOT gives high priority to traffic flow when considering proposed changes. Advocates like Jordan Morales say that priority hinders new road safety projects. Morales is the vice president of Milwaukee's Sherman Park Community Association.
The Milwaukee Department of Public Works, they're more concerned or becoming more concerned with pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure, and they're actually more concerned about slowing cars down. So you've got kind of two competing philosophies.
A city report from 2019 found 16 of Milwaukee's 25 most crash-prone intersections sat on or near Fond du Lac Avenue or Capitol Drive, another state-connecting highway. And from January 2017 to July 2022, 42 people died in traffic collisions along the two roads. That's about 11% of the city's total traffic deaths during that time. Milwaukee officials say WSDOT has allowed some changes on connecting highways. Those include protected turn lanes, as well as concrete bumpouts and expanded medians to shorten crosswalks at busy intersections. But Gerald Krushke, Milwaukee's interim commissioner of public works, says WSDOT has rejected more ambitious proposals like narrowing or eliminating lanes.
I think they're starting to understand the needs that we have in the city, which is a good start. I still think we have a long way to go.
Stephen Flottmeyer is the planning chief for WSDOT's southwestern region. He says the department considers the needs of all road users when weighing new projects, but he acknowledges WSDOT typically approaches rural and urban highways with the same set of goals, which includes traffic flow.
The only difference is within the connecting highways, the city plays a much bigger part in the conversation.
Dwinetta Thomas's family is among those who would like to see that relationship evolve more quickly. Tristan says they think changes to make Fond du Lac Avenue safer could save families from what they're going through.
It's a gigantic loss for our family. It's a gigantic loss for the community in which she served, and we just have to make sure that nobody else's bright light gets snuffed out.
Dwinetta had moved to Sheboygan, but was still in Milwaukee often.
The day she was killed, she was actually dropping someone off at a store. So I think it's apropos that she was out helping someone and then that happened. So she was definitely loved.
Dwinetta left behind two adult children and four siblings. Jonah Chester, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to family-owned restaurants and the fragility of the hospitality industry, weathering these times, carrying on the passion for making food that honors identity and culture. We talked recently with Wisconsin Restaurant Association Chair Danielle Berwald, who's a restaurant owner herself, and had this forecast.
By the first of the year, we will see a significant uptick in closures of restaurants who are holding on and hoping that the holiday season makes or breaks the year.
Join in on working in this industry, your passion for cuisine, 800-642-1234. Anthony Gallardi is co-owner of Tavos Signature Cuisine in Milwaukee. Anthony, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. How is your small family restaurant faring in the ups and downs of the pandemic?
Well, we have had our struggles, definitely had our share of struggles. But we're pushing through and we keep working at it every day. It's a day-by-day challenge.
I would imagine when you run a business with family members, there are bound to be differences, and it's personal because it's your family. How do you handle that aspect of running a restaurant?
It's a little bit tough, but we've gotten used to it. Like I said, the idea of opening it, the restaurant as a family, you know, pretty much that's where everything started. That's where everything came from. And it's been fun. It's been a challenge, definitely, like I said, with staff. Sometimes not having enough staff is a challenge because you're there every day, so there's not a break for us in that sense. But we understand that's what it takes to keep the restaurant going and being successful. So it's definitely a challenge, I'll tell you that much.
Can you explain the role of your mother and father in the business?
Sure. So both of my parents are involved in the aspects of the kitchen, the recipes, the cooking, the prepping, and the creation of every dish. We all come together on a dish. We all agree on what goes on the menu, what comes off the menu, and how a plate should look.
It's your mother's recipes. Does she have the final say on what goes into these dishes?
Oh, no, not at all. We all do. So we all do. It's mainly her recipes. It's definitely, I'll tell you that much, it's 100% her recipes. And that's how we wanted it from the beginning. We definitely wanted to showcase my mother's cooking.
When did you realize that your mother's cooking was extremely special, was unique and different from other people's cooking?
Since I was a kid. Since I've had her food ever since.
Can you describe what makes it distinct? What makes it different?
I mean, aside from, you know, everybody's always going to say their mom's cooking is amazing.
That's yes. Awesome.
You know, no kid will ever say my mom's cooking sucks. you know, that'd be an interesting. It's the fact that I wasn't the only one that appreciates my mother cooking. And the family and friends, she would have multiple friends over sometimes for parties and gathering, and the high praise and compliments that she would get all the time. You know, you start feeling that her food was so unique that a lot of people would love to come over to the house constantly just to, you know, to be invited to the house.
And your restaurant, is farm to table. What does it mean for you to use, you know, grass-fed meat and heirloom vegetables in her recipes?
Oh my God, 100% cleanliness. To be able to say my food is 100% grass-fed and it's a farm-to-table, there's no comparison in it.
Why is there no comparison? Yeah.
Because for me, staying away from processed foods, staying away from all that, you know, it's just not, it's unhealthy. I mean, I find it more healthy, beneficial. A lot of people complain about how the food sometimes, Mexican food sometimes it's heavy, it's unsettling, it doesn't sit well with their stomach. We keep things very simple in that sense, minimal seasonings to let the food shine for itself. Like I said, we focus highly on authentic Mexican cuisine, not Americanized food. In that sense, I want to say more of a Tex-Mex style. 20 years ago, a lot of people would consider that to be authentic. That there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it wasn't authentic, you know. For what it's worth, Taco Bell, it's not Mexican food. And a lot of people do believe that Taco Bell is 100% Mexican.
Some restaurant critics say that you've really paved the way for the rise of new Mexican cuisine in Milwaukee. How does that sit with you? What does that mean to you?
I definitely take it as a high praise. It makes me feel awesome to know that, you know, we have led the way for new restaurants and changed and started a trend and a movement basically in the new modern cuisine in that sense. And to stick to tradition in a way, of what real Mexican food is and showcase it nowadays, I want to say it's a little bit more acceptable in the sense that we have a lot more of the younger kids that are 3 or 4th generation Mexican-American or, you know, just Latin that want to explore, you know, their roots and to help people reconnect with their own culture through my food. It's amazing to be able to do that and give that to people.
We're talking with Anthony Gallardi, who's a restaurant owner in Milwaukee. Join in on Foodways and when culture and family recipes are behind dishes and how your favorite restaurant is doing. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we discuss Foodways, passing down recipes from one generation to the next and bringing those recipes to life in a Milwaukee family-owned restaurant. It's story of a Mexican and Latin American restaurant owned by Anthony Gallardi called Tavos. Join in on your family-run restaurant story, how your family members share in the work of running the business and who does what in the restaurant. 800-642-1234. Chef Anthony Gallardi stays with us. Anthony, you know, before the height of the pandemic, your restaurant only took reservations and it could take months to get a table. How is the pandemic affecting your business now?
Hard, heavily changed the whole concept of the restaurant. When we first opened, I want to say anywhere between 4 to 6 months in, it took us, I want to say close to 6 months to develop that reputation of, you know, word of mouth, a lot of, marketing. We did at the beginning, we did high marketing on social media platforms, and we paid for a lot of high marketing advertisement at the beginning of the start back in 2018, and it, you know, popularity grew so fast that all we could do was reservations at that point.
And then what happened when the pandemic struck? Oh, Anthony, are you still with us? I think we're having a connection issue with Anthony Gallardi. He's a restaurant owner in Milwaukee. The name is Tavos, named for his father, and Anthony is co-owner. We're trying to get him on the line. We're having a little bit of connection issues. Maybe you have a family-run restaurant that you are a part of. What is that business like? How has it been for you in the pandemic? Or maybe you go to a restaurant that you really love and you want to see it continue. How has it been? 800-642-1234. Anthony, are you still there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Sorry about the connection issues there. But, you know, as you said, in 2018, and as you got the business rolling, it was really fast. You had you really ramped up quickly. What happened in the pandemic, though?
So with the restaurant being so small and the building that we are, it really hurt our business in that sense. The restaurant is super small. We only have 4 to 5 tables in the restaurant that are 4 to 2 people sitting at a time. We did not have a patio available. So it really impacted the fact that COVID limit people, you know, to be able to sit next to each other. My place was, like I said, it's small, it's cozy, and people loved that feeling, the fact that they were next to each other, the fact that somebody would come in and order something familiar to them, really basic off the menu, and the table next to them would be willing to try something different, something that they've never had, and the plates started coming out from the kitchen. People would be like, oh, my God, what is that? And they would start communicating with each other. Next thing you know, you started making friends. People started laughing. It was very family-driven in that sense. And all of that changed with COVID. All of a sudden, when COVID hit, nobody wanted to be next to anybody. A lot of people were worried about contamination and getting talked to, or, you know, people were not wearing masks. You know, how was things being handled? So COVID changed a lot of things for us dynamically in the restaurant. And it was very drastic too. So we switched over to a lot of carryouts, a lot of walk-ins. We tried reservations, paid reservations. That did not work out so well either, because people would still not show up for their reservations. And we started getting a lot of chargebacks. A lot of people... we would charge a minimum of $25 just to hold the table. And people would not show up and then file a dispute with their banks. So we figure, you know what, just let's not charge a minimum fee to make a reservation. Let's just not take reservations at all. So unless it's a large group, you know, that occupies pretty much my whole space, we will not take a reservation.
So you really don't know from one day to the next who might show up. And that can also lead to predicaments, I would imagine, with your ingredients. Have you been able to get the ingredients you need when you need those items?
So as far as my ingredients, we have not, thank God, we have not had the trouble of getting, you know, the stuff, because we do order with time. My distributors have always been on time. I have not had that hard of a problem getting certain ingredients here. We have always tried to order sufficiently enough to keep us afloat, you know, constantly. But it does impact in the sense that sometimes it's a Friday night or a Saturday night and we're completely dead. It's empty. There's maybe one or two tables at a time. And there's other days where it's, a Friday and Saturday again, and we're extremely busy. We'll be extremely busy on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. So it's always a hit or miss. I do get that call every time. Hey, are you busy today? Or do you have a table open? That's a constant struggle when we used to be booked all the time and have reservations.
Right. Now you just raise your hands in the air. You know, your guess is as good as mine.
Correct.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the life of a small restaurant business owner, Chef Anthony Gilardi, owner of Tavos Signature Cuisine in Milwaukee. You can join in on the restaurant business in these times. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Can you talk a little bit about the name Tavos, named after your father and your partner, I understand?
I'm sorry, I did not.
Oh,
I missed that question.
Can you talk a little bit about the name Tavos, which is named after your father and your business partner?
Sure. So the idea came from the fact that my dad wanted to open his restaurant. If he wanted, essentially, that's the reason I'm back here. I'm in Milwaukee. I started the restaurant with my father. He wanted to open his restaurant. He wanted to make it personal, and he wanted to reconnect with me in that sense. He wanted to make it a father-son, business. And the fact that he did not want to go any bigger was shocking to me at the beginning, honestly, because it's such a small building where we are. That's how pretty much the whole building was so small. My dad said, hey, I want my restaurant. I want you to come help me, you know, build this restaurant. And I told him, like, well, Scott, you know, what name do you plan on giving it? And he had all these other names, you know, in mind. And I told him, well, why don't you make it more personal? It's your restaurant. It's your dream, it's your idea to have, you know, a restaurant. So let's make it very personal. And I remember my dad had, everybody has always called him Tavo. Ever since I can remember, they refer to him as Tavo or Mr. Mustache Guy because he has a huge mustache. So, you know, he's always the Mustache Guy or Mr. Tavo. And I was like, Tavo? I was like, Tavo. That sounds, I was like, it's perfect. It's small, short. It's easy to pronounce. It's easy to remember. And that's how Tavo's came. That's how we came up with the name.
That's a beautiful story. How has your relationship with your dad changed in this business venture?
It's great. We do have our, here and there, a little bit of disagreements, but for the most part, it's awesome. It's better than ever, I want to say. We were able to bond back together 6 months in, and having the restaurant so busy, we bonded. It took my passion back to the kitchen. It's been amazing. It's been amazing for me.
Anthony, thank you for joining us. All the best.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Anthony Gallardi is owner of Tavo's Signature Cuisine in Milwaukee. Just ahead, we talk about how philosophy provides a path through personally difficult times. The new book is called Life is Hard. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.